The following is a lightly edited version of the Bobby Blackwell Show from 2010. Starting in 2011, these shows will be put into a separate uncut RSS feed on the BobbyBlackWolf.com website and will be posted the night of the live show. These unedited shows feature long, awkward pauses and may contain technical difficulties or explicit language. This feed will be for the edited versions of the shows that sound good for a podcast. Good luck. Tonight we tell you about how you can play with Microsoft Kinect this month, plus we mourn the passing of a very innovative video game experience. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show week of July 18th, 2010. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt.
And it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
Gummy worms, toothpicks, and earwax. This is what my chat audience wants me to talk about tonight, but they're not going to get that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. Hello. If you're joining us live on All Games Radio, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. That is where I'll be reading intelligent comments from the night, i.e. those not about gummy worms, toothpicks, and earwax. Not going to be reading those. Sorry. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line for you to call in and preferably not talk about any of those subjects. Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. Or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com. So I'm going to start off a little bit and alienate half my audience because it's not a music game. Give some initial impressions of a sports game, more or less to talk about the very controversial online pass functionality. It's an EA game, NCAA football. It's really the only sports games I really play because I do actually kind of have an attachment to my old school in NCAA football and things like that. So the game itself, it is, you know, it's roster update 2010. But what they did is that they took some of the features that they used to have and then made it a part of this online experience. If you don't know about what the EA Sports Online Pass is, the EA Sports Online Pass is basically it's your gateway to everything online. Team creating your own school, which you have to do on the web, you can't do in the game. I believe getting other people's roster files requires this online pass. Just playing online, going in a quick match, playing a friend online requires you to have this online pass. And something new called an online dynasty that also requires the online pass. Now, basically, what the online pass is kind of their way at getting money from the secondhand buyers. Essentially, they come with a code to redeem the online pass, which is a $10 value, 800 space bucks on Xbox 360, or you can do a 7-day free trial of it. And I actually opted just to do the 7-day free trial because I don't play the game online all that much. But what they've kind of done is that, you know, a lot of this stuff that used to be in the game, they've actually put into this online pass. And essentially, I'm going to talk about the dynasty mode of the game, the dynasty feature, which is basically its career, but they call it a dynasty in college. They had a dynasty mode where it would, like, take pictures from your game and generate, all these, news articles or something. And they did this in the game. Well, now they've kind of taken that out and of the regular offline dynasty. It's a little bit stripped down and put it in the online dynasty feature where you can actually go to a website and you can actually create your own stories or it will auto-generate stories for you. And to be able to use that feature and have that, which you used to have in the earlier games, you have to, have this online pass. You either have to put in the code or you have to pay $10 if you bought it used. So they're starting to kind of take things away from the single-player experience and making it an online-only experience. Now, yes, you can make an online dynasty of one person. So you can get those features you just have to have an online dynasty and then deal with the servers and stuff. You can't play it unless, you know, if the servers are down. And they've been having problems. EA is known for their growing pains on the first week. And they've definitely had some of their growing pains. They've actually turned off one of their main features called the Season Showdown, where basically everybody picks their favorite team and everything they do in the game is scored as points toward their team. And it was working before the game came out. It worked on release day, on launch day on Tuesday. And then they took it down. And unfortunately, since it's so tied into the experience, every time you start a game, it tells you you can't contact the server, so it's not going to count. And they say you can, you know, ignore those messages, but you still have to deal with those messages at the beginning and the end of every game where it tries to upload your stats to the server. So they're, you know, so here I am. I'm using my 7-day online pass, my 7-day free trial, and I can't access that portion of the online gaming. I wonder if there's a lawsuit about that. But so basically, it's just I had to see what kind of content they were going to be putting to make it worth people having to pay $10 for this content. Right now, I haven't seen anything that really warrants it. Now, my online my trial ends on Tuesday. So I will then go in and see what I can't access on Tuesday, because they do have like video clips from ESPN you can watch. Unfortunately, they haven't been updated since Tuesday. It's still talking about, you know, Wimbledon. And it's kind of funny, like all the videos there are talking about where LeBron James is going to end up, when we all know he's on Team Edward. That's what he announced, I believe. I have to see what they take out, but it's all stuff. A lot of the stuff that they have is stuff that actually was included in the price of last year's game. And if you take out the online stuff, this game is pretty much a lot like last year's games. Yes, they've done a couple of improvements in the actual gameplay and stuff, and they've got a lot of presentation improvements. But in terms of, like, you know, if you play the Dynasty mode or you play the Road to Glory mode, it's not that much different. In fact, the Road to Glory mode, which basically, if you've never played the game before, the Road to Glory mode is basically you create a person, a player, and he goes through and you basically play as that person, just that person. You don't play as the whole team. You're not the coach or anything. You basically, you know, the coach sends you the play and then you do the play. They didn't do anything with it. It's hosted by Aaron Andrews, who is a sportscaster on ESPN. And they didn't shoot any new video with her or record any new audio from her, and they recorded no new audio. So it is literally a copy pasted version from last year. Even they overhauled the interface on the Dynasty stuff. They didn't even bother overhauling the interface in Road to Glory mode, which actually is just like last year's Road to Glory and Dynasty mode. So it was just thrown in there because it was there last year, but they didn't really do any work on it. And, you know, it's still got the problem of, if you're playing as a running back, it will the CPU, the coach, even though you've got this amazing running back on your team, will always call pass plays that don't work, and you'll wind up losing the game because the coach would never give you the ball. It's probably why pro people have bigger egos or something like that. So overall, I was kind of disappointed in terms of, you know, is this game really worth $60 if you've enjoyed last year's? Not really. I mean, I'm a big sucker for presentation, and, you know, they did make some good gameplay enhancements, but not enough to warrant the $60, which means, you know, probably you should buy it used, but then you're going to get screwed out of some of the features that were there last year that aren't there this year because you had to pay extra for them. So, I don't know. I haven't, you know, I mean, I still enjoy playing it because I did trade in last year's version, so I'll play this one for a while and then trade it in about 6 months before the price drops too much. The online pass thing didn't really do it for me. Chat.allgames.com is, I'm going to look over in chat and see what people are talking about, if they are talking about this at all, because I know sports games usually aren't what we talk about here on the show. You know, I play one a year and that's it, and it came out this week, so that's what you have to deal with. Jim Sally asks, do I need the EA Online Pass and Xbox Live, or just the pass? For some of the features, you don't need Xbox Live Gold, but if you want to play online against other people, you do. I believe you don't need gold if all you want to do is participate in Season Showdown and download rosters. But I believe to be in an online dynasty or play in a game against other people, you do need to have gold. And they do actually tell you that, but right before you activate it, that you will some features will also need an Xbox Live Gold account. Jim Sally says that blows. I thought this was an out for people who don't want to pay for gold memberships. No, this is a way for EA to get money from people who buy the game used and still utilize their resources, because EA doesn't get any money from the used sales. Which, I mean, it's kind of like I'm conflicted considering I'm a system administrator and stuff, and you know, I know that it costs time and money and, you know, salaries of people to maintain online servers. And so my initial reaction to EA Online Pass is I want to see what they're putting in this $10 thing. Is it really worth it? Are they putting out enough content to warrant having a charge to pay for the people that are creating that content, for the people that are, providing maintenance on the servers if they're doing all this stuff? And, you know, there is a robust web interface for the online dynasties. It has like a whole blogging engine with comments and everything, and you know, you can take your pictures and video from the game and put them in these headlines and smack talk and everything. And you can actually do everything but play the football game in a browser. You can do the recruiting and all the other stuff you need to do in a week, every week in the dynasty, in a browser. So you could do it at work or at school or whatever, which is how they advertise it. I bet teachers really love that. But no, I have to see what they're doing. And you know, but other than that stuff, and if you don't want to do an online dynasty or play other people online, they're really just doing the same stuff they did last year. They're just charging you extra for it. What Up G says, Erin Andrews is kind of busy with a lawsuit. She's been on TV a lot. She's able to do multiple things. So I'm continuing to look through chat.allgames.com, see if anybody was talking about this, but most people are not. Wide Angle asks, well, Online Pass is still free with a new purchase, right? Correct. There is a code in the back, on the back of the manual that you can put in. I just haven't input that code because who knows, it might be better if I don't put it in and save it for somebody who really does want it. So there you go. There's my rant on Online Pass and NCAA football and stuff. So let's get into a little bit of news. Also, this first story I talked about a little bit about on my Friday show, but I can understand that if people did not listen to it because there was some not good content on it provided by a caller that we humored. And so I can understand if people didn't want to listen to it. So I'm going to kind of repeat some of it here. It's about Kinect, Microsoft's motion control stuff. You could probably play it now, depending on where you live. Well, not right now, but at a local Macy's. So there's an official press release that came out beginning Thursday, July 15th at noon. Select Macy's stores around the country will host exclusive previews of the revolutionary Kinect for Xbox 360 technology. La la blah blah blah. Kinect will be housed in Macy's M-Style Lab locations in 13 stores nationwide from July 15th to September 30th, leading up to the holiday gift buying season. Customers can test drive the new controller-free entertainment experiences themselves by using the best controller ever made, their body, at the select Macy's locations before it is officially on the market for purchase on November 4th. So basically, what you can do, there's Macy's all around the country that have basically a guy that they hired to sit there from noon till 8 on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and noon till 6 on Sunday, and to basically let you play all of the first-party Kinect games that are going to be coming out. So basically they've got a dev unit, they've got a Kinect there, and they've got a little small space, and you go there and you can play Joyride, which is the driving game. You can play Kinectimals. The E3 demo. It's all the E3 demos. The Kinect Sports with the bowling is the one that the Atlanta one wants to play most often. The adventures with the obstacle course where you have to jump and stuff. And you can play the ball, the dodgeball with bricks game. You can play all that stuff. And you can basically test drive it there. I went to the one here in Atlanta, which is Atlantic Square Mall. Couldn't find it for a while because I went in the back end, went in from like the parking lot entrance and couldn't find it, but it's like right at the front if you come in from the mall. But anyway, went there, no line, nobody knew it was even there. It was just like the guy was standing there, the guy that they hired to do it, was just standing there bowling. And he's like, hey, you want to try this? You know, they actually have like a roped off area for a line, and nobody was in it. It's kind of sad, but I don't think that many people knew it was there. So I was able to try just about everything there. I had about, 30, 45 minutes, which I didn't get at E3 other than when we filmed the Dance Masters thing and then filmed the dashboard video. But I didn't get a chance to play any of Microsoft's first-party stuff. And, it's quite buggy when you're in an area where people can walk behind you. Just saying. Because people would walk up behind me and watch, and then it would start throwing off its detection of me a little bit. We actually had to recalibrate it several times, even like just switching games and stuff, because they've got a calibration tool, which you'll probably never see in the end product, but it actually shows your skeleton. It actually shows an avatar. You can move around on the avatar and stuff, and that's how it calibrates and figures out where you are. But if you move around too much, like if you move forward or back a little bit too much, it will lose some of that calibration. So they've got some work to do to see if it's actually going to work out in the beginning, or it might be something they can patch. It looks like it might be a software thing, better detection algorithms and stuff. But we would have to recalibrate it after every couple games. And then if somebody else wanted to play and jump in, it didn't really recalibrate all that well. So if somebody's saying, playing bowling and, looks at their friend, hey, you want to try this, and they jump in, probably won't work as well for them. The game that I actually enjoyed most was actually Joyride, which if you remember, Joyride was initially going to be the avatar-based racing game that was going to be free to all Gold members. That was the original way that they had done it. And it actually, when it was calibrated right, it actually worked pretty well for what it was. It's not a, realistic by any means. Basically, you have one speed. You don't, brake at all because it doesn't look at your feet. It just looks at your hands. But it worked actually pretty well. I actually made, second place once. I couldn't make first. But I blamed the people that were standing behind me. So I did that, and that was probably the best game out of the bunch for me. I did try Connectimals. The main reason I was kind of interested in Connectimals is because I do have a friend who has a daughter who's turning 4 next weekend. And I showed her the E3 press conference demo of Connectimals with the little girl talking to Skittles and all that stuff. And she fell in love. That's the target audience. And she's like, can you send me that video? And so I sent her the video, the YouTube video, and I think it was IGN's IGN's video on their channel. And she was horrified by all the comments because everybody on the YouTube video commented the same way that everybody in our chat room comments anytime anybody ever brings up Connectimals and uses up every slur they can think of and stuff like that. But she thought it was amazing. She thought it would be great. And she couldn't, so basically I've got to get Connectimals when it comes out. That's basically what it means. So I was trying it out to see how it really reacts and stuff. And even the guy said when the kids play Connectimals, that's their favorite game. It was just the demo. It was the scripted demo, the same one they had at E3 where he comes up. You can't talk to him or anything. You can just basically... you pet him at first. And one thing that I did notice about the pet, when you're petting the animal, it doesn't track your fingers like everybody thinks it does because it shows these, transparent hands petting the animal. You can just hold your hand still and it'll do it. And you basically just move your arms around and that's how it changes the position of where the arms are on the screen. So you don't really have to do anything. You can just hold your arms out if you want. And then, it did some stuff where it tries to mimic you, and that didn't work too well because of the environment of people standing behind you. And then it crashed when he tried to hand me the toy. There we go. So that was Connectimals. But I did get to play. The bowling was actually pretty cool. It did a good job of, detecting the spin and everything. there was lag between my movements and the character in the ball, and where you're hitting the red ball against the bricks. It's the same. It was one of the initial demos that they showed. It was the one that they showed on Jimmy Fallon. That one had a little bit of lag. That was kind of the worst one of the bunch, in terms of working. But it's got problems. It's got issues in terms of how it works. But you can try it for yourself if you're near one of these locations. Or they are actually doing a road tour where they're actually having like a mobile living room like go around all around the country during the same time frame. So you can try it out for yourself right now if you want. You're gonna have to look up. I don't have a link to like the list of all the places, the Macy's that are around, but I know there's one in New York and one in Miami and one here in Atlanta, and then there's a couple others that I don't know. But you can check it out for yourself. And it's really the same stuff that you would have seen at E3. So, chat.allgames.com is where I'm going to be looking. Spazinator says he's breaking out the can of Raid for Kinect's bugs. Let's see here. Wide Angle says, my friends always hate it when I show their kids new and expensive things. Yeah. She didn't like it either, but then she, knew that she could just pawn the kid off on me for a day. Terraclaw asks, what animal was it? It wasn't Skittles. It wasn't the same exact same animal, but it was a cat tiger thingy. Billy OK says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? See, the good thing is nobody was there. Nobody knew who I was, so nobody took pictures of me playing any of these stupid games like where I had to jump and do the obstacle course. That sucked. GK128 says, when I think hardcore gaming, I think Macy's. Hell, I don't even think Macy's for any kind of gaming. And there is no gaming section in Macy's. That was like, I was like trying to find, see if there was like, it was in the kids section or they don't have an electronics section or anything. So that I had problems finding it. But anyway, there you go. There's Kinect right there. And an innovative experience from Microsoft that we will be partaking in this holiday season. An innovative experience from Microsoft that we will not be partaking in anymore. Sadly. Everybody shed a tear for 1 versus 100. So essentially, it was announced this week that 1 versus 100, the Xbox Primetime game show, which was basically free to all Xbox Live Gold members, they actually gave out Xbox Live Arcade games and Microsoft points, will not be returning for a third season. Really cool idea. I really loved it. I didn't play it as much in the second season. As I probably should have, because I could have used those achievements. But I really love the idea. I had a lot of fun playing it with people in our community and stuff. It was one of the few online experiences that I partook in a whole lot. And I loved the format, and I loved where they were going with it, where it was actually something to tune into. It's you plan your night around playing a live version of this game. And it's gone. And there are no other Xbox Primetime shows using this framework announced yet. Basically, the team put up a blog saying that the team really enjoyed making 1 vs. 1 and working on it was unlike anything that they have worked on before. Seeing your passionate feedback and interaction from our players was always appreciated. Even though we spent our days at work bringing the game to you, we still enjoyed playing alongside you. Our colleagues on the writing team made us laugh, too. The general manager of Microsoft Game Studios, Dave McCarthy, says, quote, when we started on this journey, we knew we were creating an entirely new genre of entertainment that would be a continually evolving concept. We're very proud of the 1 vs. 100 team and their accomplishments and are excited to apply what we've learned to future programming, unquote. Unfortunately, nobody knows what that programming is. Kotaku actually had an article where they talked to some insiders. And they basically said that sources close to the project tell them that 1 vs. 100 fell victim to, among other things, some game-killing management issues. When 1 vs. 100 was created, The team working on it also created an entire framework for building future games along the same lines, but the project was moved between so many different people within Microsoft Game Studios that in the end, enough resources weren't put into marketing and selling ads within the game. In the end, Microsoft killed the online game because the direct revenue it was bringing in wasn't enough to cover the cost of creating new seasons. There's also the possibility that the folks behind the television game show saw the success and decided they wanted a bigger cut of the pie. Unquote. So basically, the Xbox version lasted longer than the TV show of One vs. 100. But it's actually met with a lot of backlash from the community. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that, you know, it would have gotten as much. People missed it as much as. I don't think people expected how much people would miss it. I guess that was it. I was blown away by how many other people reacted the same way I did on Twitter and places like that, where, you know, this is not a hardcore game where you're shooting people, and, you know, everybody's upset. You know, people that enjoy all those shooting games really mourn the loss of One versus 100. There are people that actually bought an Xbox just to participate in One versus 100, or bought at least Xbox Live Gold to participate in it. It's a huge loss. And I don't think it got as much credit, but apparently, you know, yeah, I got tired of seeing all the Sprint ads too. But you know, it's kind of sad that it didn't continue. And I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what they build on top of this framework. But I hope they still go down this route because this one apparently didn't get enough revenue for them. Something in the future might. Shadow Next Gen says, "Boo, Microsoft for canceling One versus 100." Wide Angle says the TV version was canceled. No wonder they canceled the game. The TV version was hosted by Bob Saget. Tire Claw says while it was fun, you could not get into the mob or the one or be the one unless you played the game every single day to rack up those points. Not necessarily. I know people who got into the mob without having to play all that much. I mean, yeah, it helped, but you know, but basically, like if you ever looked at like the official rules for a season, you could only be in the mob, like, once every episode, and you could only be the one once every season. So they policed it. Like, you weren't always going to be in the mob. Like, even if you had a lot of points, you wouldn't always be in the mob. White Angle says, did anyone ever actually win anything on One versus 100? I know, you know, they gave out Microsoft points all the time, and they had Xbox Live Arcade games up. I don't know anybody that actually won something, but that doesn't – just because, you know, I don't have anecdotal evidence from the 10 people that I played with. Just because they didn't win anything doesn't mean that I didn't. I know some people that were in the mob, but either they got the question wrong or the one took the money. So let's see, I'm continuing to look in here. Jim Sally says, if you're not in the mob in One versus 100, you might as well go play Modern Warfare. Well, there you go. That must be people's attitudes. I had more fun just, you know, playing and racking up points and playing with other people in the party and making my avatar do the chicken dance and stuff like that. So that's the part I'll miss. But anyway, we're going to take a quick music break, and then we are going to be taking your calls about any of the stuff any of the stuff that you want to talk about. Maybe I missed something because we didn't, you know, really talk about all that much last week. Now the music we're going to be playing on the break is actually going to be on the podcast. I did not get permission, but I'm assuming it's going to be okay considering Sully907 sent me this because he listens to another podcast that played this at the end. So I'm assuming it's okay. This is one of the kind of a love song for gamers. Or from one gamer to another, but it's not like lovey-dovey stuff. It's by Daniel Weissner, featuring his girlfriend Tori Lee, and this is called Player 2 Press Start. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Where I've been to where I am. less incentive towards the end of each campaign. But then you walked into the crosshairs of my sniper scope, and I knew then you were my lost hope. There's only so much I could say. My words get in the way. Only thing to do. Won't you be my is all just a game, and I'ma play it cooperatively. So baby, won't you be my cover on the battleground? Us back to back when we're surrounded, we make quite the team. Oh yes we do. You and I could top the charts of every free for all. Could fight the fight that means a world survival, hot and heavy until the end, because it's only me and you. So won't you be my player too? 'Cause I've got a game I really like to play. You're my power suit, cute like Pikachu. You are bomb like Hudson, jet set like Beat. You can choo-choo rocket like nobody else I've seen. You're my final fantasy, invincibility worth more than all the coins in the kingdom of main. Linger, you're more VA than any Master Chief, even hotter than a pre-release PS3. You're my chocobo, you're my Pikachu, my Dax, you're my companion. You take me higher than an airship over the blue. I wanna share this over world with you.
Listening to the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
On allgames.com.
Welcome back to the Bobby Black Wolf Show here on All Games Radio. Apparently a lot of hate for that song in the chat room. It's okay to turn your volume back up. It's okay. You can turn your volume back up. Jim Sally, GK128 stuff. You can look that song if you did like it. If you were not Jim Sally or GK128, you can actually he is selling the song on iTunes if you want to buy it. Or he's got a link. He's got like a YouTube video up of it, and he actually puts the link to the MP3 in there, so you can steal it for free too. And he's okay with it. It's called Player 2 Press Start. You can find it on YouTube. And stuff. It's gotten a lot of good coverage on other podcasts, but apparently not this one. So we're going to open up our phone lines, or just our Skype line. We don't have a phone line on the show. I keep forgetting. Bobby Black will show on Skype. You can call in to talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, or we could talk about something in the chat room. Go ahead and be in our chat room, chat.allgames.com. Some people were talking about Game Room during the break. Spazinator was surprised. I haven't bought anything new on Game Room. It's not from like a lack of interest. Well, it kind of is, but it's like I'm not buying games that wouldn't get me anything on Game Room. Like, you know, my favorite game as a 4-year-old was on the Intellivision. It was called Frogpock. It's available on Game Room, but since there's no like leaderboards and no, you know, medals or anything, it's really not worth me spending the points to get it when I have it on an actual Intellivision, and I do own Intellivision Lives for the PS2 and can play it there. So it's not like I have to get it. I like getting the games that have leaderboards that I can, you know, be at the top of the leaderboards on my friends list like I am in Shark. But I'm, you know, so I'm not spending games. I'm not buying Adventure or Combat or anything like that because it doesn't make any sense to me because they're two-player games and I don't really have a second player here to press start. See how I work that in? There you go. Basically, there's getting to be some good stuff. Gyrus just came up, and there's been some good games that have gone in there. And they've also made a really neat update, a good update to it very recently, where now in the sides, like if you have a widescreen TV, on the sides of the gameplay, not obstructing it, it actually shows the leaderboard, and it shows your friend's leaderboard, so you know how far you have to go to beat them in the leaderboard. So it kind of helps, and it shows your position in real time, how you are doing compared to the rest of the world, which is kind of neat. So, they did that update. So you might want to go check it out if you already have a game. I'm sure it only works in ranked games. You won't see it in like the demo. You don't see it in the classic mode or anything like that. So, and apparently they've also made like some changes to the Intellivision interface and things like that. But still, not really. You know, there's no 90s games in there yet. So if you're waiting for something after, you know, after the 80s, it's not in there yet for you. But there are some games from the late 80s in there that are nice. But mostly it is still early 80s games. They haven't brought in any Capcom games. It's still, you know, Konami, Activision, Atari, and Intellivision. Those are really the only companies right now that are represented in it. I hope that it gets some more updates. I mean, hey, if they're going to update with that score, maybe they can update online play in. That would be awesome. What Up G asks if they have any Comic-Con predictions for this week. I believe that that they will announce that the fourth Spider-Man in the Shattered Dimensions game is going to be like a symbiote Spider-Man. There's my prediction right there. Shadow Next Gen asks, where's my Simpsons arcade? I don't know. I don't know where that one is. I don't know if they'd be able to do that with the licensing things. Dark Tetsuya says he believes Capcom's arcade games are coming to WiiWare, or probably Virtual Console, one of the two. Chat.allgames.com, or you can call me on Skype, Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. Feel free to call in. For those of you that are waiting for Orange Lounge Radio to come after us, I got a text message from Rob about 15 minutes before I went on the air complaining about traffic. And he said that he would probably be 15 minutes late. So we actually have more time to kill, so we'll probably be going a little bit long, or we'll just play a lot of music between, I don't know. Dark Tetsuya says, speaking of Capcom, I want to hear more about Mega Man Universe. Mega Man Universe was teased this week. They launched a teaser where like the Mega Man universe came into this kid's bedroom. And basically what it looks like to me is it's Super Mario Crossover, you know, the Flash game Super Mario Crossover, but with Mega Man, where, you know, you can actually play as other Capcom characters. They showed Ryu. They showed, you know, different Mega Man characters. Like they showed the old 8-bit Mega Man, and then they showed the Mega Man that was on the box, the US box, the one that looked nothing like Mega Man. They showed him. And some other Capcom characters were involved. I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Super Mario Crossover with Mega Man. That's my prediction. So look at that, two predictions in one show. Are you happy now? What up, G? Dark Tetsuya says, I totally play that. That's what it sounds like. It's, you know. And I think they also said that it's going to be on user-generated content, so I think people are going to be able to make Mega Man levels. There's another prediction. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. What if G says, whatever. Guess he didn't like my predictions. Or just bring up another topic in the chat room, chat.allgames.com. Next week is going to be the five-year anniversary of the show, of this show. I usually don't like talking about stuff like that, but it's going to be the five-year anniversary. We started on July 24th, 2005 was the first show, and next Sunday is going to be July 25th, 2010. So 5 years. It's a long time. Alvin Anagram says he's remembered hearing a theory that it's going to be like Little Big Planet with Mega Man powered up PSP styled level editor. Well, there you go. I like the Super Mario crossover idea, though, with Mega Man. By the way, if you don't know what Super Mario crossover is, look it up before Nintendo takes it down, but I'm surprised they haven't taken it down yet. It's a Flash game, I think it's on Newgrounds, where you basically play through the first Super Mario Brothers and you choose the character after every level. Where you could play as Mario and it's the standard game, or you could play as Mega Man where you can shoot and, you know, the mushrooms give you more different suits and stuff like that, or you could play as Contra where you can shoot everything, or Simon Belmont with the whip and stuff. So basically you can play it as with different characters. Link has the sword and shield, and Samus can go into a ball and leave bombs everywhere and stuff. So it really changes the way that you'd play the game. And also invents new ways to die in the same Super Mario Brothers games that you're used to. But yeah, check that out. That's a really good mod, and you know you should really try to play it before Nintendo sends the cease and desist, because you know that's coming. Dark Tetsuya says that there was a new update that came out with Ryu Hayabusa, and it's pretty tough. Yeah, I saw that where he could, like, latch onto the sides of the bricks and everything. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. Or let's talk about something going on in chat, chat.allgames.com. Feel free to leave a question, leave a topic to talk about. I haven't heard from Rob yet, so I don't think we can go into Orange Lounge Radio just yet. One other thing that I think I read this week that I can, you know, while I'm sitting here waiting for people, is that I heard that Real ID, we talked a little bit about Real ID last week, and I know Rob is very passionate about Real ID over on Orange Lounge Radio. They actually put in an opt-out feature, so you can't be seen on the Friends of Friends and stuff. So they are putting that kind of that feature in to kind of protect people that don't want to participate in Real ID. It's not an opt-in feature, I guess. It's more of an opt-out. I don't have that story in front of me, and so I'm probably going to get called out on it a little bit later on, or somebody in chat will start talking about it. But it looks like they're kind of backing off a little bit on Real ID. I mean, it's still there. Blizzard is still going to have it in their game. StarCraft II comes out very soon. It cost $100 million to make, according to a story I saw today. And I don't like Real ID. I still don't like the idea of Real ID. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, chat.allgames.com. This is probably going to be my last call for calls, because I don't have any other content planned up. I only plan the first half hour, and then I turn over to the community, and then sometimes the community just doesn't want to participate, and that's not my fault. See, I knew that baiting people and making them feel bad would make someone call in, so we have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Shadow Next Gen, how's it going, Bobby?
Shadow Next Gen, what's up, man? So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, I was going to bring up, did you know that Gamefly is now hosting a bunch of Flash games?
I did not.
I put the link in chat a few minutes ago. It's gamefly.com/arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, they're hosting a bunch of Flash games, one of them being Super Mario Crossover.
Really?
Yes.
They're calling... So, I wonder what Nintendo thinks about that.
They have Super Mario Crossover, Gangster Brothers 1.1, Don't Save the Princess. They have a whole bunch of them. And then they have different categories, you know, action, puzzle, RPG, etc.
So I wonder if Nintendo kind of, you know, gave a license to that. Because I can't see them being too happy about somebody that, you know, sells their games and promotes Nintendo games allowing Super Mario Crossover on their site.
Yeah, I don't know. I was surprised when I initially got an email from Gamefly about it saying, hey, come play all your Flash games on our site.
Well, so, cool. That saves you from having to go to Newgrounds.
Yeah, well, that's what they were saying, too. It's just come visit our site. We have all of them, so you don't ever have to leave type of thing.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll sign up for a service, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I still have Gamefly. I went down to the one disc, one game a week, or one game plan instead of the two. Are these available to everybody? I guess they kind of have to be.
Yeah, I'm not a Gamefly member, okay. And I was able to play Mario Crossover just fine.
Okay. Well, there you go. So there you go. There's where you can try Super Mario Crossover. It is really good, and I mean, I guess if it's on Gamefly and Nintendo hasn't sent the cease and desist, maybe they worked out something. Maybe we're going to see, you know, game companies, like, you know, let people do, you know, kind of remakes and stuff like that in something like this. Because I know the kid that makes Super Mario Crossover, he's not making any money off of this. So
yeah.
There's not too much trouble he can get in, but they've got to be careful because if Gamefly is trying to sell service using it, then Nintendo could have a problem, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Also, apparently, What Up G wants to know if you're going to check out Dance Central in September when it's in Atlanta.
Probably not. I don't think I'm in town. Because I know it's at Atlantic Station is when the tour is coming. And I don't think I'm in town during that week.
Alrighty. I'm not sure if I'll be able to call in next week, so happy 5th anniversary in advance.
Thank you.
Also, a final thing. Are you interested in comics at all? You have any type of predictions about Comic-Con or anything of the such?
I mean, I already gave my prediction that, you know, Spider-Man, they're going to reveal the fourth Spider-Man to be like a symbiote thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got the four characters in that Shattered Dimensions game, and at E3 they were like, we're going to reveal the fourth at Comic-Con. I bet it's going to be like a symbiote something.
Yeah.
Rather.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I don't really follow Comic-Con all that much. I mean, I look at the I try to watch the panels from like sci-fi shows afterwards, but not really. I'm not a big comics person, as sacrilegious as that may be.
No, I'm not really a huge one either. I've never been to Comic-Con myself because it's so close to E3.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, financially, spending a week in L.A., then spending a week in San Diego. And
yeah.
Then, you know, a month later, spending a week or so in Seattle just doesn't happen.
Right. And, I mean, I'm not even doing – and I haven't even said this on the show. I'm not going to PAX. I'm not going to Seattle.
Yeah.
I couldn't justify it this year. It's a very expensive plane ticket since it's on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And it's gotten so big, like the stuff is off site. Like the concerts and stuff are actually off site. They're a couple blocks away in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
So they've expanded so much they can't fit into that convention center anymore.
Yeah.
And it's on Labor Day weekend, but I'm going to be at Dragon Con. So those of you that listen that go to Dragon Con in Atlanta, I used to be on panels before PAX moved on to Labor Day weekend. And, you know, I had a great time at PAX in 2008. Last year, you know, other than, you know, like seeing you and seeing Havoc, it wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there weren't enough community members there, which is really what PAX is all about. Wasn't really enough community members there to make the trip worth it. So I decided I'm staying home on Labor Day week. Well, not really staying home.
Yeah.
I'm going down. I'm going to be in a hotel room. It's just going to be in a hotel room about 20 miles south of me instead of across the country.
It seems like the 2008 E3 was almost lightning in a bottle, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. You mean the PAX?
You know, like PAX, yeah, yeah. You know, where everyone was able to, well, not everyone, but a good part of the community was able to show up and hang out.
Yeah, that's when I did all the broadcasting and stuff and worked closely with PAX to have a live broadcast. And I tried to do that again in 2009, and unfortunately PAX really wasn't interested. So,
yeah.
There you go.
All right, well, I'll let you go. I saw Sky just enter chat, so apparently he's home.
He's getting ready. Yeah. All right. Thanks so much.
All right, yep. Talk to you later.
So, and while that was, I think, let's see, who posted this? GK128. posted a link to in on Kotaku, which was recent that I didn't see, basically saying that Nintendo doesn't want to criminalize obsessed fans. So basically, what this is saying is, in connection with Nintendo's basic strategy of gaming population expansion, I would like to ask about the handling of fan activities and intellectual properties. Recently, there have been many fan magazines, original short movies, music bands, cosplay activities, websites, orchestras, and so on, based on Nintendo's titles. If these activities threaten Nintendo's intellectual properties or licenses, will Nintendo crack down on them aggressively or just view them as fan activities? If Nintendo has any policies, please let us know. That was a Nintendo shareholder asked that question in late June. And basically, their response... Let's see, this was Nintendo President Satoru Iwata says that basically, of course, we cannot say that we can give tacit approval to any and all activities which threaten our intellectual properties. But on the other hand, it would not be appropriate if we treated something who did something based on affection for Nintendo as criminals. So basically, they're not going to say, okay, you can do this. They're not going to like give you a license or something. But they're kind of going to look at the look the other way for the most part. I do know that they I think sent a cease and desist order to a Zelda movie that was like a big, not a big budget movie, but something that people had spent some time on. They've sent cease and desist orders to them, but it looks like they're not, you know, it's not worth it to them. It wouldn't be good for them to sue their fans like Super Mario Crossover. So that's good to see. Prowler 35 says, then the Zelda porn flick is a go. I think they would crack down on that one. Although for the longest time, I think Zelda.com was a porn site, and I think Nintendo finally—I'm not going to check right now—but I think Nintendo finally got a hold of that. So, it sounds like we're good to go. So, coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio, fighting the traffic. We're going to see if they're here, if they've made it into the studio. I know how traffic is. I know I've zipped in, been late to do my show because of traffic before. Going to check to see if they are here. They come on next here on All Games Radio right at the last minute. So, Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. No, you didn't rage drive or anything? You didn't have any road rage?
I couldn't. I don't know if you're aware, Bobby. I bought a new car.
Like oh, wow.
Yes, on Monday. I know, right? Finally, after...
A brand new car!
Sorry, are you even on over there, Loki?
Yes, I am.
I don't know. We can barely hear you.
Not working.
That's all right. This is just what happens when I run into the studio at the last minute. Everything's broken.
I'm not broken.
Yeah, you're fine. It's just
I
Loki.
Know I'm fine.
Loki is very broken, and I don't know why.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi.
Sorry. So yes, I bought a car on Monday. To which Loki is saying a brand new car, and it can't go above 70 for the first few hundred miles while you break in the new engine. So I can't road rage the way I would have been here on time if I could drive my normal rate. But, yeah, I like to get here to the show about, 5:15 no later than 5:30. But tonight I ran in here about 5:45, about 10 minutes ago. So it's not where I like to be. So I apologize, Bobby, for making you stretch time, but I appreciate it.
It's okay. We didn't stretch that much.
Yeah, luckily it worked out pretty good. But yeah, it took me, I don't know how many folks know the geography of San Francisco, but from where 280 and 101 come together, it took me 45 minutes to get from there across the bridge, which is only about a, maybe a 5-6 mile span. I don't know.
Rob, you said something incorrect.
What?
It should be pretty well, not pretty good.
Oh, sound care tonight.
More gooder.
I don't even care tonight.
Grammar Nazis, so, yeah. Live and well on Orange Lounge Radio tonight.
I'm under the influence today, Bobby.
You can tell what kind of show it's going to be tonight because I'm in a mood thanks to traffic. And, there's so much that's irritating me this week. Apple is really irritating me right now. Like, what? I will fully admit I'm a sheep. I want an iPhone 4. I loved my current iPhone until iOS 4 came out, and it has been the worst thing to ever happen to that phone.
It's been amazing for mine, though.
I am so... Well, this is... And Alan made this really clear to me, and it made a lot of sense the way he said it. He said, they borked your old phone, so you'd have to go get a new one. And that's exactly what they did.
They borked my iPod Touch, too.
It's terrible.
But it's really good for the 3GS users.
I'm glad. There's a part of me that's kind of glad Steve Jobs had to get up there and talk about the stupid antenna thing as much as I think that whole thing's a little ridiculous. I'm kind of glad it happened because I'm just like, I'm petty mad at Apple right now.
Did you see the little snort though that Verizon did then in their commercials?
No, what?
It says like no antenna thing either, you know, in it. And
I mean, I like how he went up there and he's like, okay, this is the laws of physics. And here's the laws of physics being applied to all the other phones, but all you're talking about is my phone. Y'all are haters. Here, have a free case. Yeah,
I loved it that he got up there and showed all the other videos, but I'm just glad he had to kind of sweat it for a few minutes because I'm just really mad. And by the way, for those asking, I still have a 3G, which, you know, is a fine phone. It shouldn't have to, like, God, the new OS is so slow. Yeah. Like, programs will, like, I'll try to go into Maps and it won't even load. Like, it'll just kick me back to the title screen. I'll have to go into it like 3 times before it starts.
Yeah, well, that's because there's a memory leak. And see, this is one of the things, you know, this is not really about gaming. This is a little off topic. But since I'm an iPhone developer off and on at my day job, we got the iOS 4 stuff a while ago. But since I couldn't put it on my development device, I didn't get a chance to test it. So I finally put the app that we've kind of been working on off and on that uses the map kit, which basically uses the internal Google Maps, and it completely breaks it. Like, I've got to recode almost the entire thing now because they don't have it working the same way. And it's every time they do an OS release, they break something in our app that we have to completely recode from scratch. Things that worked before no longer work. Our app crashes a lot more. I don't like this. I thought it was supposed to work. You know, old code was supposed to work with the new stuff. And that's just not the way that Apple does it. But they don't want you using any external frameworks because they may release a new version that will break your old code, except that's exactly what they're doing.
And, you know, I would actually say this has a lot to do with gaming because, you know, I was doing some gaming on my iPhone. Like Final Fantasy II is a port of the PSP version. Puzzle Quest was free not that long ago. I've been wanting to check out a game called Godfinger. I've heard a lot of really good things about. It's kind of one of those Simsy type games. And I can't play any of them. Too slow or too choppy or just unplayable.
Right.
Garbage right now on iOS 4. Like, I really want to – I wish I could roll back to iOS 3. It was a really dumb idea of me to upgrade to iOS 4. But I was thinking, oh, I could put a cool new background on my phone. Nope, that's you can't even put a background on your phone on an iPhone 3.
Right.
That's how awful it is.
Well, and it's the same with like the iPod Touch. Is, you know, the background doesn't work. I mean, it's except I don't have to worry about making calls on mine. But
yeah,
it's a lot slower. And I think some of that has to do with partially the multitasking code is there, but not really.
Yeah,
and I think that's the problem is that it's because it's trying to do the multitasking code. It does part of it and then says, "Oh wait, no, you don't get multitasking, so I got to stop doing this." But it's taking up a larger memory footprint than it should.
Where's my rubber baby buggy bumper thing for the phone? I'm suffering too.
Exactly. So yeah, so I'm not happy as a developer either because they keep breaking everything that I do, and I'm like, so why should I even bother? If I'm going to have a headache every time you make even a dot release, like 3.0, 3.1, my stuff worked fine. 3.2 came out, it completely broke the BAP stuff. And they didn't document that they made any changes, but they did. It just wasn't in the documentation.
I'll kind of start to wrap up with this thought because I know we got to wrap up the call and everything, but it kind of ties into a story we're going to talk about tonight because, yes, for the third show in a row, I have to talk about Real ID, but it's important because an important thing was announced this week that I've got to bring up that may or may not change my opinion. I'll leave it at that. But there's been a lot of people that have always talked about when these new MMOs come out, you know, is this the WoW killer? Is this going to be the game that kills WoW? And I think we've really learned over the past month or so that ultimately WoW is going to be the thing that kills WoW. And I think a lot of this applies to the cell phone wars as well, is that, you know, you've seen a lot of talk about all these competing phones, but Apple just seems to have this, for lack of a better term, death grip on the market, you know, for what's going on with cell phones. And I think after all this whoops and perceived cockiness and things that are going on, I think the phone that's going to dethrone Apple is Apple. I think a lot of the same thing applies. You are your own worst enemy when it comes to technology.
Yep, and you know, Apple's been doing some stuff. I mean, and I haven't really delved deep into Droid because I've got a Droid, and you know, haven't really delved too deep into that programming. But I mean, that you know, Apple's got like the hold on the market, so you kind of have to do iPhone stuff if you want to do mobile development. But it's they're not making it easy.
And it's going to be very interesting when some of that starts to backfire. Yep. We'll see.
And somebody will overtake World of Warcraft, because I still remember saying that, you know, nobody's ever going to overtake EverQuest. And then we kind of laughed when we heard that the real-time strategy people were making an MMO. We were like, yeah, good luck with that, guys. You have fun with that.
I don't want to get too far into this, but like a couple, you know, Alan and I were talking in depth a little bit about this today, and a couple very interesting things to think about is that, A, as much as I hate the idea of BlizzCon and have no interest in going, like, this would have been the year to go, to look the developers in the eye and voice my opinion. Mm-hmm. This is the best year ever to go to BlizzCon. And B, we haven't heard anything about Blizzard's next MMO yet, and I think BlizzCon's going to be the time that we hear about Blizzard's next MMO, but with the direction that Blizzard's been going in lately, with this whole, like, we kind of want to be the Facebook of gaming or whatever the heck it is they're trying to do with Real ID, I'm kind of scared at what their next MMO is going to be. I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. With all these bad decisions that have been being made lately, like, is what we're about to see just a culmination of all of those bad decisions? I hope not, but I've got to be devil's advocate.
Do you have to have your real name on your badge if you go to BlizzCon?
I think you do, actually.
Well, there you go.
I think you do have your name on a badge at BlizzCon, but, you know, I've never been, so I'm not going to profess to be the BlizzCon expert, but this would have been the year to go.
Sorry you couldn't go.
That's all right. We're Dark Soccer and I are probably going to go to Disneyland, and then we'll just drive by the Anaheim Convention Center and go, oh, yeah, that.
We're totally going to go to Disneyland. And then we'll be on Space Mountain going, ha-ha, you're not here.
And then I will cry.
That's right.
Because I want to go to Disneyland.
Well, next E3, you need to plan like one extra day. That's all you need. One day, and okay, we will run you through Disneyland.
Excellent. I will make that plan now.
Awesome.
What are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Oh, stuff. No, we got a lot of, well, Real ID, obviously, as I just referenced. We're going to delve into a little bit about PS3's recent 3D as well, kind of talking about the 3D YouTube that they're supposedly promising. That's going to be kind of interesting. Also, some more developments on 3DS. Everything from Kid Icarus has had some news this week, to the tag mode, to piracy. So we're going to talk a little bit about one executive stance on 3DS piracy. And I just stopping short of the claim that there can be no piracy on this system, because, you know, every new console that comes out, they love to make that claim. Oh, let me bear use my mic until we fix yours.
First off, why'd you break my mic? I don't know why you did that. Anyways, first off, the guy that's quoted, this guy from THQ, thinks that there's no piracy on this DSi system, which right there's fault in his arguments. So it'll be interesting.
There's piracy everywhere. There's piracy on the PS3 already, too.
And it's even a word. Don't say anything about your anti-piracy measures. That way people won't go, oh, really? You think I can't do it then? Well,
exactly.
Now you've just issued a challenge. Unless you can back it up, which you probably can't, you're going to get hacked.
There's the truth. So thank you so much. Orange Lounge Radio is coming up next. Have a good show tonight, guys.
Thank you. The debate will rage on here shortly, because you can hear Jamie wants to say something, but we're going to have to make her wait 10 minutes.
It's good. It's going to be a show-long FU, right?
Oh, and California Extreme, old-school video games IRL game room. We have to talk about that, too. Very important.
There you go.
Even get there. All right.
Thanks so much, guys. So orangeloungeradio.com is where you can listen to them or their podcast, or they're on right after us here on All Games Radio. That's it for us. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for our 5-year anniversary. I have no clue if we're doing anything special. I haven't gotten that far in my planning. I can't think that far ahead. Right here at All Games Radio at allgames.com, you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. If you want, you can send me an MP3 file of, if you really want to, like, say congratulations or something. BlackWolf@allgames.com is my email address. I may actually put the Skype line back up. I may put the voicemail back up. So you can call that and leave a congrats. I don't know. Stay tuned to my Twitter. Over at Bobby Blackwolf is my Twitter name. Stay tuned to that for information. But yeah, 5 years. We started doing the show 5 years ago last week. Not as old as OLR, but kind of there. I'm in first grade now, I think. BlackWolf@allgames.com is my email address, or you can join our forums and chat room over here at allgames.com, take part in our community. But I would not be able to make the live show work that we've been doing for 5 years without the help of the chatter. So thank you very much, Billy OK, DC Nate, GK128, The Rob D, Binary 667, Burr, D5T, The Blue Guy, Eswat, Funnydale, Kitsune, Maximilian, Octocamo, Shadow Next Gen, Stone Raider, THK, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Wylan, Alphican Anagram, Amaze, Satsuma, Bacon Bits, Ben F, Dark Tetsuya, Decipher, DJ Dark Knight, Firecube, Funny T Man, DR4EV, Havoc978, Hitstun, Jim Sally, Kazan, Maginomicon, Matt Cube, Melted General, MXC, Necromoss, Pandalicious, Prowler35, Ronmo, Ruben, Sims3 Junkie, Spy, Sky, Spazinator, SubZ, The Flames, TM95, Toagak, True, Warham, What Up G, Wide Angle, and Wilcon. So thank you very much, everybody. I will see you guys next week. OLR is up next. And it's going to be a rage-filled episode, apparently. I'm off to go edit some episodes and maybe write some new music. Bye!
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.